Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So who is Jesus? That's the question we're asking this Advent, and we're using the first chapter of Matthew to guide us in that search. You know, who is Jesus? It's the most important question ever asked. Some say Jesus is a therapist who helps us cope with life problems, heals our past, tells us how valuable we are, and not to be so hard on ourselves. Some say Jesus is a coffee lover, drinks fair trade coffee at Starbucks, loves spiritual conversations, drives a hybrid, and goes to film festivals. Some say Jesus is a coach who helps athletes run faster and jump higher, especially Christian athletes, and really cares about the outcome of the Super Bowl. Some say Jesus is a hippie who teaches everyone to give peace a chance, imagines a world without religion, and helps us to remember that all you need is love. And some say Jesus is a spiritual guru who hates religion, churches, pastors, priests, hates doctrine, and would rather have people out in nature finding the God within. Some say Jesus is a revolutionary who teaches us to rebel against the status quo, to stick it to the man, and blame things on the system. And others say Jesus serves as a great example, a good somebody to live up to, shows us how to help people and change the planet. I don't think that's too far off from the way a lot of people think about Jesus. But there is the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the Jesus of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew tells us who Jesus is. He's the son of Abraham. He's the son of Rahab, the son of Ruth, the son of David, the son of Solomon, the son of, well, fill in the blank of any of those names from that list in the first 16 verses of Matthew's gospel. But tonight, we're going to focus on that last person mentioned in that list, Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Now, verse 17, we heard that actually last week. Verse 17 concludes that list this way. Matthew writes, "Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, and 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ." Matthew summarizes biblical history in three sets of 14s, or six sevens. Now, if you're a Hebrew reader, the story is not complete because a story can't end with six sevens. There must be another scene in this picture. You need a seventh seven. This is a genealogy, and a story that seems to lack an ending. And that's exactly Matthew's point. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the son of Mary, the one who ushers in the final act in God's plan of salvation, and in so doing brings our story to completion. See, Jesus himself is the seventh seven. Tonight our gospel reading began this way. Very familiar, we hear it every year at Christmas. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. We know that story. Mary conceives Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And we all know how Joseph at first was hesitant to believe her. He sends, now of course who could blame him? But God had a plan already for Joseph, had a plan for his doubt. He sends an angel to Joseph in a dream, and Joseph is able to believe the unbelievable. And he can now do that which God had intended him to do since before the foundation of the world, to raise Jesus. So in spite of what others say, might say, Jesus chooses to trust God and to love Mary. And as to our knowledge, they now live together, share a home, and will raise their firstborn son. Now that certainly must have raised some eyebrows. See, Nazareth was not a very large community. A very small town. Likely less than 2,000 people lived there. And news like this would certainly travel quickly. Every busybody on the corner would assume that Jesus and Joseph and Mary had conceived this child during their engagement instead of waiting to be married. It happens. Believe it or not. But now Joseph and Mary want people to believe that God was behind the whole thing. Now that's some nerve. But it's what the angel tells Joseph to name this child that should have really been the talk of the town. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, we all know, I'm probably not going to tell you anything you haven't heard before, Jesus is the English form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which literally means Yahweh, the Lord, saves. The son of Mary is named Jesus because his son will save his people from their sins. Now that's news. That's worth talking about. Jesus will forgive all of your sin, every one of them. He forgives those sins that keep you from getting to sleep at night. He forgives those sins that wake you up in the middle of the night. He even forgives those sins which you have yet to commit. Now mull that over and try to get your head around it. See, like Matthew's genealogy, we're incomplete without forgiveness. Economic problems abound. You see what happened to the stock market this past couple of weeks? And yet, if all of our economic problems vanished today, our lives still wouldn't be perfect. Political problems. Don't even get me started. But if they all vanished today, our lives still wouldn't be perfect. And if all of our psychological problems vanished today, or all of our family problems, or all of our health problems were solved, our lives would still be incomplete without forgiveness. You see, we need forgiveness because of who we are. We're people who need to be saved from our sin. Now, here's something that shouldn't be news to us. We can't save ourselves. I don't know, you remember the old Pogo cartoon? I know I'm really dating myself here. It's kind of odd to try to date yourself, but that's in a whole other sermon. But Pogo. Pogo, in one of the cartoons, made the comment, I have met the enemy, and he is me. See, that's who we are. Every political, social, or psychological problem is the result of our sinful and fallen nature. And that's why Jesus didn't come as an economist, sociologist, or family therapist. His name is Jesus, because he came as our Savior. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I don't know about you, but it actually makes me happy and gives me peace when I admit that I can't bring my life to a successful conclusion. I just can't. And I've tried. God knows I've tried. And without a doubt, my biggest problem is me. And that's why I need a Savior, to rescue me from my sins. See, if we come to Jesus for any other reason, we're going to be disappointed. And maybe we hope that he'll make us popular or successful. But I think Jesus has more important problems to solve than our unpopularity or our failures. See, those are just symptoms. Jesus lays down his life to save us from the sin that alienates us from God, the sin which brings us death, the sin that would ultimately destroy us eternally were it not for him. Jesus, the Son of Mary, is our Savior. He isn't just another prophet, another rabbi, another wonder worker. He's the one that they had all been waiting for. He came to complete God's story of salvation. He came to deliver his people from exile, to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is our seventh seven. He completes it all. But Matthew also told us something very important that Isaiah said some 800 years ago, a year earlier. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, in truth, Matthew's whole gospel is all about God with us. It appears here in the very beginning. And again, in the middle, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And again, in the very last verse of Matthew's gospel, as Jesus says, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. See, Jesus, the Son of Mary, is not only our Savior from sin, but Jesus, the Son of Mary, is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, up close and personal, willing to join you in the muck and the mire, the chaos and the confusion of your life. And we see it most profoundly on a day that was both figuratively and literally deeply dark. On Good Friday, our spiritual ancestors grabbed hold of Emmanuel, nailed him to a cross, and cried out, "Leave us alone." And we do the same. Whenever we choose sin over God, we demand just that, for us to be left alone by God. Don't interfere with my life. Let me do what I want. And that's the way it would be forever if it weren't for Good Friday, or rather, what that death on Good Friday led to. Because you see, on Easter, we see that Emmanuel still lives. There was the cradle, and there was the cross, but conquering death, Emmanuel now wears the crown. Jesus, God with us, completes our story. He fulfilled the commandments, reversed the curse, crushed the serpent's head. Jesus became our great high priest. He came to be Isaiah's suffering servant, Jeremiah's righteous branch, Daniel's son of man, Amos's roaring lion, Haggai's desire of all the nations, Zechariah's king riding on a donkey, and Malachi's son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Jesus is God, who was predicted through the prophets and whose way was prepared by John the Baptist. Jesus, the Son of Mary, our Savior, our Emmanuel, isn't a figment of our imagination or the projection of our own desires, our own wants, our own, what we think are our needs. Jesus is the Lord our God, the Savior of the world, our Savior, the substitute for our sin. And Jesus is proof that God is more loving, more holy, and more wonderfully merciful than we could ever think possible. Every last bit of God's forgiveness, grace, and love are packaged and delivered to us in two marvelous Hebrew names, Jesus and Emmanuel. The seventh, seven. They complete our story, your life. And those names are his Christmas gifts to you, both now and for forever. Amen.